I need to be honest that as Jacob read that gospel lesson, which is part of the assigned readings for the church this time of year, I couldn't help but wonder whether God's sense of humor was trying to communicate something to the Seidler family with the reference to snakes and scorpions as we get ready to go to Arizona. What are you trying to communicate, O Lord? I bring grace to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message that I've chosen is a text that I have been, and as a ministry we are servant to, as we come and serve Concordia Lutheran Church. It is a text of scripture that is in this room, ever present, through every sermon, through every liturgy, through every hymn we sing, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll read expansively verses 9 through 15. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This is our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, your grace, your mercy new every morning. And this last morning for the Seidler family at Concordia Kirkwood in ministry, we ask your blessing. Thanks, dear God, for the partnership in the gospel we all have enjoyed with one another and we will continue to enjoy, even though we are away from this Concordia home. Bless these words, the meditation of all of our hearts, to the greater glory of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to begin with a commending word. Because this congregation, this 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:30, whenever we worship congregation, this congregation is described by the word dependable. Dependable. I could depend on you. You can depend on each other. We don't do goofy things here. We have a liturgy. We play predictably singable hymns, unless Philip gets a little bit expressive. Then we are stretched. We are confronted by a very simple message of law and gospel. We do not unnecessarily adorn the message, the preaching, with other stuff and fluff, because at the end of the day, we want the dependable word of God by which the church stands or falls. I remember coming out early in my ministry here, and one of our dear members who has credentials in teaching and preaching beyond my years for sure, said to me, Scott, I needed a little bit more gospel today. Understood. Appreciated. Dependably so. And every time I preach, in the back of my mind, about 3 minutes away from when I say my final amen, a little dinger goes off and says, Scott, I need a little more gospel today. And I give it. Because we are a gospel-driven church. This pulpit is embraced by the conviction, Jesus Christ, we preach him crucified and risen for the sins of the whole world. It is our miraculous and mysterious faith, and we dependably bring that message to the world. I had the opportunity to write my sermon just a couple minutes ago. I try to convince my brothers that I don't do this, but I so often do. Not to be irresponsible, but because I depend on the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ to confront me with new insight and new truth in moments. And as I was greeting today, I greeted as I finally came in Will and Louise, and was reminded by the Holy Spirit of that risen Lord Jesus Christ, of Will being on my call committee 13 years ago, showing me with Ted Schuessler and Dale Kreienkamp from this particular worshiping body great hospitality. I remember Ted Schuessler, I came in, and Renee and I were just brand new, and it was an Italian meal from the hill with a little Chianti or Cabernet. And I wasn't even in the room before Ted was with the little plastic cup, "Welcome to Concordia, Pastor Seidler. Here's a glass of wine." Thank you, Ted. All right, now I understand what hospitality begins to look like. I remember eating beautiful bacon-wrapped asparagus by Bonnie Mertes countless times, with the mushroom gravy over the perfectly cooked, medium-cooked pork roast. That's hospitality. Will, thank you to you and Louise, the quilters, Louise, that were so faithful, and you led them so faithfully for years. Thank you for showing that kind of hospitality. From the very moment Renee and I entered into this congregation, that's dependable hospitality. And we are known for that kind of hospitality. We make it our aim to be a welcoming congregation, that when people come here from all over the world, they may leave here feeling like they just were in a place that was a little like home, our Concordia home. I want to say thank you for that. I want to say thank you to our crack team of ushers and greeters and communion assistants and altar guilders who, in the back room, you know, nobody else really ever listens to me, which is fine, but the altar guild. Every time they ask me something and I give an opinion, which is strictly speaking, Dave, Jacob, it's just an opinion, they write it down in Sharpie marker and they stick it up on the wall. Pastor Seidler says it is appropriate to, so on and so forth. I look at those notes and I said, did I really say that? And then I changed my mind about 5 years later, which is typical. But for that partnership in leading, so dependent. Crying Camps, the McCormicks, Keith and Chad, just all the folks that wake up at 7:45 to get here and say, "Welcome to Concordia. God bless your worship. Here's your bulletin. Don't trip as you come in communion." All those things. Thank you for that partnership in the gospel. To Sharon Kay and Sharon Emma, who certainly serve the larger congregation, but let's face it, you're their favorites. And it's just such a joy to serve with such dear women of faith and ministry who tell us pastors every day what to do and where to go, and we say yes. Is there any other direction you'd like to give us? Because they are trustworthy, and they love us, and more than that, they love you with us, and they want to dependably care for you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. To our teachers, especially in this congregation, to Dave Schmidt, Charles Keeshan, Steve Carter and Eric Erkinen, to Al Buckman and Henry Rowald. We remember Beezy and Fred Meyer, who say thank you to Kathy Brown, Tom Benedum. You know, it doesn't stink to be a part of the 815 worshiping crowd, because after worship, you can go and get some of the most credentialed teaching of our denomination right downstairs with a decent cup of coffee. And if you haven't taken advantage of that, especially as we get to the end of this sermon, I encourage you to do so, because these are men and women who are accredited by God to you to teach the faith of Jesus, the gospel of our Lord Christ. And I love them. And I'm humbled with Dave and Jacob to serve in their company, knowing that they are the extended backstop for what is oftentimes an unsettling amount of movement in a church on a Sunday morning. We've got a lot of people that come through the doors. I'm thankful for what happens down in the library and the atrium room from these men and women. So I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all of you who are well-seasoned and who've been here for 13 years. I want to say thank you to those of you who are new, especially to this 815 worshiping congregation, those who sit in the back with your screaming kids. We love you and we love them. We know restless children are the future of the church, and they never bother us too much. We are grateful for the Hans, the Schmolls, the Grofs, the Frisches, the Weinbolds, the Hans, and the Cutchins, who no longer scream and kick in church. We've watched them grow up, and I'm proud of them. It's a blessing to see a church grow and change. Never stop growing and changing. Which brings me to my sermon for today, which will take place in 2 minutes. Aim at something for the love of God. Just make it your aim to do something. The Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ never fails his people. God left his Spirit in order to lead a church into all truth. Trust the Spirit, listen to his voice at work in you, as he brings and bubbles up in you and from you scripture that you've read and heard over many ministries, not just mine, but Dave's and Jacob's, and Monty's, and Billy's, and Jerry's. So many that have filled this pulpit, of course, who would ever leave out Vernon Walt. Listen to the voice of the Spirit that works in you. Jesus Christ left that Spirit as a testimony and a legacy to his church, we trust. So just aim at something. Pick it. Every single day. Maybe it's a mission. Maybe it's some morality. Maybe it's a piece of your vocation. Maybe it's a therapeutic healing that has to happen. Maybe it's a relationship. But just aim at something daily. Drown the old Adam so that the new Adam can rise up. The new Adam for which Christ died. Aim at something pleasing to God for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that gospel that compels us. He died for every one of you. Therefore, make your days, every day, a life that attests that he is the true vine and you are the branches. He is the head, you are the body. He is the shepherd, you are the sheep. So go and live for him. Aim at something pleasing to God for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. And know that Renee and me and the kids, we are thankful for our years of privilege serving you. You have changed us. And for the better, I will take with us to Scottsdale and give through my ministry there a testimony to the great things that you have done and we have done, what I have learned and we have learned. And so simply to end this sermon, remind saying I am grateful. Thank you.